The scripture this morning is from the book of Matthew, and I think is especially apt for today. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Women's Choir. Oh, beautiful, powerful song. Thank you, Heather and Priscilla, for that prayer. And thank you, Commissioner Moran, for living out your faith as a public servant and providing a prophetic witness. Friends, we could about go home right now. We've had church. But it is a thing we know in here in Minnesota is that when it's this cold, you really got to put on the layers, right? So we're doing some deep layering and insulating today because it is a hard world out there, right? And so we need to fortify. So we have to keep going. Jesus' words in Matthew 25 are simple and direct and impossible to ignore. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. No caveats, no conditions. It's as if Jesus hands us a map for discipleship. And the map leads us straight to our neighbor, to the hungry, the strangers, the sick, the imprisoned. If we take him seriously, then faith means more than belief. It means solidarity. It means recognizing Christ not in places of comfort, but in faces pressed against the walls of detention centers, at airport terminals, in the lines of those waiting to be deported. Christ meets us not where things are safe and sanctioned, but where truth and compassion collide with power. Christ doesn't hide from suffering of this world. Christ lives there. And Christ is here in Minnesota. We're going to do a little time traveling today. I wonder if you remember way, way back to Friday. Feels like a lifetime ago, right? This week in the bitter cold, 40 below, the kind of Minnesota cold that slices straight through you, you showed up. We showed up. Thousands across the state said ice out by participating in the Day of Truth and Freedom. We stopped commerce and gathered in prayer, refusing to let fear freeze our hearts. We gathered not just to protest, but to resist. To resist an occupation, to resist cruelty framed as order, to resist the lie that compliance with evil is ever an option for people of faith. The streets were icy, but the spirit was alive. At the airport, faith leaders from every tradition locked arms, sang hymns, prayed, and cried out for truth and freedom. We went to the airport because it has been the pipeline of this occupation. Over 2,000 Minnesota neighbors have been flown out of MSP since January 1st. Often within 4 hours of arrest to God knows where their families and their lawyers can't find them. 30 airport workers, screened and background checked legal workers, have been arrested on the job, all while the airport and major corporations stand by and profit. And that day, while 1,000 were gathered there to protest, 100 clergy were arrested, including myself and my partner in crime, Paul Wilcox. And I can tell you, as and I can tell you, as cold as my hands were when those zip ties handcuffs closed around my wrists, my heart was burning with love. A John Wesley heart strangely warmed kind of moment, because I looked out and I saw the kingdom of God made visible in the hundreds of other protesters of all different faiths who were there, all there out of deep convictions of their souls. And even I saw the face of God in the local law enforcement who treated us with care. Then later that afternoon, some 50,000 gathered in downtown Minneapolis to march and rally. That evening, thousands more gathered for prayer vigils across the street and here in this sacred space where our bishop, Lynette Plambeck, spoke and called us to be salt and light. Friday felt holy. Holy like resurrection morning, like Pentecost fire on the prairie wind, the unity, the singing, the prayers. It felt like we had put a crack in the ice. And I went home that night, believing that January 23rd would be remembered as a turning point. But then Saturday came. By morning, the news hit like a physical blow. Alex Preddy, a 37-year-old ICU nurse at the VA hospital, shot and killed by ICE agents in broad daylight. He was trying to help his neighbors. He wasn't a protester, he was a protector. A woman was knocked down by ICE or Border Patrol, and he went to help. He did what any of us would pray to have the courage to do. He loved his neighbor as himself. And for that, he was executed on his own street. Our hearts and prayers are with Alex's family and friends and coworkers and neighbors. But we know it didn't end there. For just moments later, the story was twisted almost beyond recognition. Lies filled the air like DHS had them ready at their fingertips, it seemed, huh? Alex, who spent his life saving others, was branded a domestic terrorist. Friends, tell me, if poets like Renee Good and nurses like Alex Preddy are now terrorists, what does that make the rest of us? How quickly the warmth of Friday froze over. How quickly joy turned into grief and courage into despair. When truth itself, truth that we have seen with our own eyes, was flat out denied again by those in power. James Baldwin's words keep echoing in my mind. Ignorance allied with power is the most ferocious enemy justice can have. They are trying to keep us ignorant. But we know the truth. But this is what we are up against. not just the injustice of deportations or the cruelty of ICE raids, but the machinery of falsehood and fear that tries to convince us that we are powerless to stop it. But let me tell you something, and as we've heard here today, we are not powerless. We have never been. Many have said it plainly. This occupation isn't about enforcing immigration law. Though clearly immigrants and BIPOC people of Minnesota have borne the brunt of this moment, this occupation is about controlling a people, subjugating a free state. Minnesota has become a testing ground because if Minnesota falls, then they continue on the path to consolidated control. But they underestimate us. They underestimate the people of this land. We, the ones who know what it means to live through the deep freeze and never give up on spring. We who take chainsaws to ice and carve sculptures that we call art. We who celebrate when it gets to the coldest of the cold because it kills off invasive species, right? They forget that under all of this cold, there is a beating heart of love that no federal agency can kill. Friends, the thing about ICE, whether it's on our lakes or in our laws, is that it never lasts forever, right? The deep freeze can feel endless, but every year, the warmth returns. Every year, the ice begins to thin. At first, you barely notice it. A trickle of meltwater, a softening underfoot. But then one day, you step and you hear that first crack. That's the sound of change beginning. That's the sound of God's promise breaking through. The ice always melts, always. Because the warmth, the light, the love prevails. That is not naive optimism. That is gospel. That is resurrection truth written into creation itself. So how do we keep going when our hearts are this broken? When the world seems overtaken by powers that neither speak truth nor value life, we keep going because we know that to love one another is to love God. We keep going because we believe, as Jesus said in Matthew 25, that every act of mercy is an act of divine resistance. Every meal shared, every protest joined, every ride given, every child comforted, every truth spoken into the void is a declaration that Christ lives among us still. When the world says comply, we respond with, we will not comply with cruelty. When they say stay silent, we say, we cannot be silent about lies. When they say let the ICE agents do their jobs, we answer, the work of love is our job. This is not about partisanship. This is about discipleship. This is about saying yes to Jesus and no to empire. There are not two sides to this issue. There is only the way of love and the way of fear. And we, church, have chosen love. Since we are time traveling today, I want you to remember way back, way, way back to Tuesday in the story of little Liam Ramos, 5 years old, abducted alongside his father on their way home from school in Columbia Heights, and used as bait by ICE to lure others from their home. A five-year-old. I can't get his image out of my head. his blue hat and plaid coat and his Spider-Man backpack? I used to work for Columbia Heights Public Schools. That's where Ryan and I met. And it was my job to help kids like Liam, to help newly arrived kids to this country register for school. And I know what that backpack means. Because kids his age, they really don't need to carry much in a backpack, right? But they love having one because it makes them feel strong and ready and brave. That Spider-Man backpack has been sitting with me all week because here at Hamlin Church, we've got a Spider-Man backpack of our own. Some of you recognize this, youth, right? Right? Right, kids? We had this at family camp last week up in the bitter cold. It goes with us on mission trips. It goes with us out to community events. It goes everywhere and has every first aid item you could ever possibly imagine and some snacks, all those things you think you have at your house but you really don't and you couldn't actually find in an emergency. We have them with us. And you know what? This backpack, it's not just for us. It's for anyone who needs it, wherever we are. And I have to believe that way, way back on Tuesday, that Alex Preddy saw the picture of Liam and his Spider-Man backpack and maybe recognized his story in it. Maybe when Alex stepped forward to protect his neighbor, he was carrying that same courage, that same faith that ordinary people, nurses and teachers and neighbors and children, can stand up to extraordinary cruelty. Maybe his backpack was packed not with his medical tools or school supplies, but with the superpowers compelling him to do what he did. So let's put on our Spider-Man backpacks today. Not because it will make us superheroes, but because it will remind us that we already have everything that we need. Love, faith, community, courage, resilience, hope. That's our gear for the journey. That's what we carry together. So where do we go from here? First, we do not lose hope. We do not lose hope. As we've said, hope is not a passive thing. It's not wishful thinking while we wait for someone else to act. Hope is what we do when we see the ice begin to crack and we step forward toward it, trusting that the sun will finish the work. And we keep showing up again and again and again for our neighbors for as long as it takes, going where Christ would go. It looks like filling the sanctuary for prayer vigils. It looks like clergy kneeling before police officers and linking arms. It looks like congregations feeding families who are scared to leave their homes. It looks like neighbors going to their street corners with candles and song. Because hope is faith with its sleeves rolled up. And we remember that though this is not the end of the story, it is how this story always goes. The powers of violence and fear, an authoritarian regime, they've always think that they've won. Right up until resurrection morning. Right up until the stone rolls away. Right up until the ice melts. I know, that January 23rd and January 24th and whatever Tuesday was, Liam's story, that this week, that these days will be remembered in Minnesota's history as a turning point, and I pray, God, in the history of this nation, the moment when something broke open, the moment when the frozen ground of fear began to thaw and a moment of love refused to die. So friends, in the coming days, when the cold closes in, tend the fire for one another. When you can't see the light, borrow someone else's flame. When your hope feels thin as ice, reach into your Superman backpack and find the warmth of prayer, the nourishment of community, the bandage of kindness. Because we are the body of Christ. And when one part aches, we all ache. But together, through love, persistence, and the spirit that will not give up, we keep healing. The thaw will come. Spring will come. But even now, before it does, we live as if it's already true. Because that's what faith is. Living resurrection before it happens. So keep going, beloveds of God. Keep going, church. Keep standing, keep feeding, keep singing, keep showing up. The ice will melt. The light is rising. Christ is alive in us, and we have work to do. Put on your Superman backpacks and let's go. Let us sing together in joy, in peace, and in hope. Amen.